If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense.
Today on Talking Sense, we're going to be talking about the millennial wealth comeback. So millennials have been facing some difficult financial challenges early in their career, from the dot-com crash to the 2008 Great Recession. It has kind of hindered their ability to build wealth. Now, for anyone out there who is wondering, the millennials, they were born from 1981 to 1996.
Just missed them. Technically a Gen Xer, just barely. I'm a 79.
See, I'm born in 2000, so I just missed it as well. We actually had a coworker of ours. He was making fun of me, and he was like, oh, millennials. And then I was like, I don't think I'm a millennial. And we went and looked it up. He was actually the millennial. So then I was
like, that's even better.
Millennials.
That's even better.
So got him back on that one. But if you were born from 1981 to 1996, you are millennial. Now, recent data has said that despite all of the difficulties earlier in their career, they've been kind of making a comeback. So between 2019 and 2022, millennials made substantial gains, surpassing earlier cohorts in net worth to income ratios across various wealth levels.
But let's talk about what that really means. What goes into our net worth? If you don't know, net worth is basically all of your savings, checking, things that you own. So it could be your home. There's difference between what's considered liquid versus non-liquid. But that's what we're talking about here, is that the ability to accumulate, whether it be funds or things, has improved for those that fall in that generational group. One of the things that created kind of a sudden shift in that was when the housing market just boomed. So in, you know, COVID, houses just like highly appreciated in a short period of time. And we were talking about this before. We're like, yeah, but how does that really help? Well, when you're talking about net worth, the value of your home is included in that calculation. But the thing to be cautious about with really seeing that when you're kind of thinking of where you're at in life is, I have a house that, yeah, I could sell it today for a pretty good amount, but I certainly couldn't buy another house today and you know, put less debt in my pocket. I'm not going to be able to take the growth out of this house and end up in a better position with the next house, because the next house is highly appreciated too. So we did see a surge in that. And we also saw that in Generation Y. You know, when it comes to financial assets, personal savings with the federal stimulus and the pause on student loan payments has helped many catch up a little bit, whether it's Generation X, Generation Y, millennials, whatever. It did give those that were intentional a bit of a leg up.
Yeah, it did. And I think you made a good point on the houses. You know, if my home is appreciated a lot pre-COVID or post-COVID now, like you said, you can't just move into another house, but it does look good on your net worth. So in the status saying millennials have made a big switch net worth to income, well, you know, if you bought a house before COVID, your mortgage is not a ton, but then the value of your house has gone up a lot, but you can't move into a new house. I think that's a huge reason why this stat is
a little tricky for us.
Yeah, it's a little tricky to look at. Mm-hmm. And like you said, student debt is also very high. That student debt's gotten more common. Like, school is just getting more and more expensive. Student tuition, especially for college, that's like the fastest growing inflation.
Yep, that and healthcare. Those are the two at the top usually. I'll say I'm living this right now because I have a senior. And he came in the other day and he was talking about one particular college and then another one. And I just told him, I said, listen, I appreciate that that one sounds attractive to you, but it's got a $50,000 a year tuition. We don't have that kind of money. Like, and I'm kind of a, if you earn the scholarship, great. If you don't, those loans are not my responsibility yet. But I think that we have to be cautious about being intentional with those things. That's the one thing out of that I really wanted to kind of come out of is, you know, when you have opportunities, like during the times when you don't have, like when you first get out of college, for instance, you've got a period of time there where you don't have to make student loan payments. You've got like 6 months, I think, before they activate it. What if you were intentional in that 6 months to still live like a college student a little bit, even though you've got that full paycheck, and pay some of that off before the interest starts accruing? You'd have an opportunity there. Or maybe during college, making some payments to pay down those principal payments before you're in your repayment period. I just think there's some opportunities that were taken advantage of there, which is great to hear. Another area that we've seen some shifting is in investment style. And this one actually encouraged me a little bit. You know, when you look at the habits of how people are investing, seeing what's going on with this generation.
Yeah, this generation, they've gotten the benefit of the internet. I think that's probably the biggest advantage is you can look up anything at any time and get the result instantaneously. And one topic that they are going to learn about is investing. They don't just need to rely on the news. They can listen to podcasts like this. They can listen to people like Dave Ramsey. There's more and more books that are getting popular. So I think they're more aware of how they can invest. And with over 60% of the millennials, they're holding stocks, primarily in retirement accounts. But that's, I would bet that's probably higher than previous generations who relied on pensions or Social Security for retirement.
Or even my generation, you know, Generation X, we tend to be more skeptical people in general based on, you know, the studies I've read. And it, I noticed when we were looking through this study that only 48% of Gen Xers tend to have a heavy equity exposure, and even less among late bloomers, so 37%. When we're looking at this, we're going from 60 to 48 to 37. So as they've, you know, starting with younger generations, they've just got more access, like you said, to information. I think things are less scary when you can learn about them. You know, for my generation, when we needed to know something in our early 20s, we had to find a library. We had to look it up. We couldn't just even, I mean, we had the internet, but nobody really knew how to use it yet. And so it's just so cool to see that. Now there's a, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. There's a lot of junk. There's a lot of junk on the internet. So you've got to know how to filter it too.
Yeah, that's one of the other downsides of too much information is how do you know what is valid information? But why is investing crucial for millennials? Well, I think there's two big reasons. One is compound interest. You want your money to grow, and it needs to grow to outpace inflation, which is the other reason why it's crucial. We've seen it over the past few years. Inflation is getting really high, and things are going to get more expensive in the future. So you need that compound interest to let your money grow, let your money work for you. And so I think that's key. And millennials, they're in a good point. They're young right now. If you're born from 81 to 96, you're anywhere from your upper 30s, lower 40s to even some, what, how old would they be? Just about 29, I guess. So 29 to up to lower 40s. So there's still a lot of time before they're retiring. They have a lot of time to catch growth in the market.
Well, and I think people are waking up to the responsibility of savings too. I think, you know, my grandparents had pensions. My parents even had access to pensions. My generation's not going to have that. And I think younger generations, beyond mine even, are realizing, okay, this responsibility is on me. And so they're taking it very seriously, which I love, and they're taking ownership and they're making strides to understand it and get going. Another impact that we're seeing that we feel like has an effect on this is that there are a lot of dual household incomes without children. I think this generation has the most households where they just choose not to have children. And that means there's more free income to go towards whatever goals they have.
Yeah. Our stats say that 3/5 of millennials without kids say they don't want them because they're too expensive. And as someone with a lot of kids, I'm sure you could vouch for that.
They're expensive. I joke that when my kids are all out of the house, there will be signs. I'll be driving a very, no, I'm just kidding. I'll just won't be all the time going, oh, but it is, it's expensive. And it's interesting when I read that, that they're just choosing to delay that, to give them some time to get their footing, you know. Whether they're choosing to have children at all or just delay it, it's, there's a lot of people choosing to have that dual income even when they don't necessarily have to.
That's also a really good opportunity to start knocking out some other goals. When you have dual income, no kids, you can really set yourself up for a good spot in the future, whether that's maxing out retirement and even doing some on the side or saving for a house, paying off student loan debts. It's really a good time to get stuff in order and to set yourself up for success in the future.
Yeah, I think that intentionality is something that pays off well in every part of your life. If you have the opportunity to make a stride towards one of your goals, be intentional. You're going to be successful. I have seen, you know, one of the things a lot of people who are struggling will say is, well, I just don't have any wiggle room. Those, we've talked about this before, living paycheck to paycheck. What we have found when we meet with those people and we go through everything, there's usually things they could do to be just a smidge more intentional that would help them. For instance, if you get a bonus, use it intentionally. Pay down something that you otherwise wouldn't have had the opportunity to. Get a side hustle for a little while. You know, waiting tables for a few months might stink, but having debt for the next year stinks worse. So this generation has, in my opinion, taken a lot of intentional steps to put themselves on the path to success. Now, of course, there's outliers and everything. There's some that probably aren't doing anything. I know my generation, we kind of live in denial sometimes about some of this stuff. but I think you have some opportunities when you're younger, and I'm going to call these people younger because they're younger than me. You're younger than me. To change your habits, stop the things that are holding you back, no more excuses, and start being intentional towards the things that are going to move you forward. So one of the things that I would caution people about, again, I mentioned it earlier, but I want to circle back to it, is net worth. A lot of people get really tied up in their net worth. And I've even had clients come in and they'll hand me a whole worksheet. And it's like, their house is worth this much, their vehicles are worth this much, but their assets are like a tiny part of their net worth. And they're like, I've got $1 million net worth. I'm like, that's great. How are you going to turn that house into an income stream? And then they sit there. And I don't mean it disrespectfully. I think you can get your mindset set on the wrong thing. And it's no different than people say, well, if I have $1 million in retirement assets, I'm set. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you are. I think we've got to get our mindset around healthy habits first.
And along the line of healthy habits, we're seeing a lot of younger people come in to meet with us to get mm-hmm. advice on financial advising. And that's why recently we've opened up the Spark program. And what that is it's a good way for younger clients to come in, get started, and meet with a financial advisor to figure out how we can accumulate assets for retirement. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of places that you come in, you got to have a certain amount of assets in order just to walk in the door. Well, how do these people know how to get those assets built if they can't walk in the door? So mm-hmm. what we're doing is we're allowing anyone to come in and we're going to get you started, get you on the right foot to where you can build assets and get prepared for retirement. And it's really great because you get them in the door early when it's most mm-hmm. important. You get that compound interest and you get more time in the market. And I think that's really key. And it's amazing that we have 20-year-olds walking into appointments just trying to learn more about financial advising and what we do and trying to learn about retirement, what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Just asking, what's a Roth? What's an IRA? What's 401k? Because the younger generation is curious. They want to know. And I think that also ties back into a lot of the stuff we talked about earlier with the internet. Mm-hmm. They're seeing this at 18 years old. Yeah. When you were 18 years old, were you hearing about...
Hey.
A Roth IRA or anything?
No, I already told you. I was like 35 when I learned about IRAs.
Yeah.
It just was not on my radar.
It wasn't.
No. And I love the level of intentionality that we're seeing from younger generations, which is why we were motivated. You know, we've got this great process, the Ready to Retire process that we use for people who are ready to retire, as it's named. But for a long time, we were just kind of winging it with younger clients. Like, it's not rocket science, but they do need specific coaching to their life stage. And that's why we created Spark, so that we could be intentional with that group. And if you would like more information about Spark, you can reach out to us at info@getreadyforthefuture.com. And you can just put in there, I want to know more about Spark. And one of our advisors will reach out to you. There's no cost to talk to an advisor at that first meeting. Or you can call us at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. If you would like to have a meeting with a Spark advisor to get started on your journey or get some help along the way, that would be great. And another thing that we created the Spark for, I just want to kind of plug this too, is, you know, if people have moved jobs, which the statistics also say people in this generation are more likely to switch jobs to help themselves move up. If you've switched jobs and you have a 401k sitting, we call it an orphaned 401k, you need some advice on what to do with it, especially if it's in a plan where maybe it's not easy to manage yourself. That's one of the things we can help people with, helping you get a budget, helping you figure out what topics you need to learn so you can fill the gaps in your financial journey. So Spark, I'm very proud to be part of the group that got that going. I know you've been instrumental in that as well. So I'm excited about what this next generation has. And now it's time for our 2 cents. So Alec, I'm going to let you go first. What would be your final thoughts regarding this subject?
Well, my 2 cents from looking at the research and everything that millennials have been doing out there, I really think that they should be proud of where they are, everything they've been through, and where they're going. Only thing I would say is there's a lot of work to be done. They're probably getting close, or they're in their prime income years. So just keep the pedal down, keep going, and they're not too far from retirement. They're getting old now.
Focused, you better get there.
Yeah, get focused, keep going.
And if you need some help with this concept of educating yourself, there are tons of resources on our website. You can go to getreadyforthefuture.com/academy to see all of our different events that are coming up, workshops totally free to you. As Alec has said before, we do typically feed you while you're there as well, so you can turn it into a date night. If you're like me, that really is a date night. But we also have other resources. You can go to getreadyforthefuture.com/keys or text keys to 501-381-5228. For our 6 keys to financial independence. It's just a quick guide to help you kind of check off where you stand in your journey to financial independence. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on Talking Sense. As a reminder, you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and where you take your podcast from typically. We put episodes out every single week. We'd love for you to subscribe so you don't miss one. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wealth team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wealth Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.